time handling them, or there's a place for the kids to be, and we want to make that available to you. So appreciate all the work she does. Appreciate the good report she got from the doctors this week. Everybody was praying, and God just answered a prayer in really in a miraculous way that she does not have cancer. So praise the Lord for that. God is so good. And for those of you staying in here, Philippians chapter 2, if you'll take your Bibles and turn there. We started this last week, and I don't know how much farther I'm going to get this week. Praise the Lord. There's so much good in here. But in Philippians chapter 2, Paul's concerned about, and again, to set the stage for those who are guests and visitors, Paul had talked about in chapter 1 all about it. He said, don't worry about me. I'm in prison here. But man, God is at work. And he found joy in his trials and testings. He found joy in his tribulations. He found joy in his detractors. He found joy even in death. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. It's all good. I'm wonderful. Life is wonderful here. So don't worry about me. But Paul knew some things were coming up because he was in prison. He got to sense the heartbeat of Rome. And he knew this church of Philippi was a colony of Rome. And they were very faithful and loyal to Rome. That whatever happened in Rome was going to happen in Philippi. And so Paul knew that the Philippian church was going to face some hard times. Paul knew that there was going to be some persecution that was going to come down upon the church of Philippi. Now, he didn't know when it was going to be, because Paul is finally released and his desire was to go to the church of Philippi, but he never made it. Because in about two and a half years after he was released, he went back and his head was taken off by Caesar. And that was just the beginning of some pretty rough times for all Christians in Rome. We see many of them had to leave to Asia Minor, where Peter began to preach to them. And I'm sure in Philippi, they took some hard times. Now, I say all that to say this. Paul wanted them to be prepared. And that's why his desire, and you'll find this in the end of chapter 1, in the beginning of chapter 2, he wanted them to be of one soul and one mind and one heart. He wanted them to have the same ideals, the same passions. He wanted them to think alike in some respects. He wanted them, and we're going to show you that. So we began, he wanted spiritual unity in the church. And again, he said, only let your conduct be as it becometh, in verse 27 of chapter 1, the gospel of Christ. Let your conduct, the way you live, the way you act. When I come in to see you, that I may hear of your affairs, that you'll stand fast and be in one spirit and one mind striving together. Because he knew tough times were coming. You know, a lot of people would take this out of context. They say, preacher, you're just preaching this right now because you want everybody to think like you think. You want to get your way and have everything done that you want done. And folks, I want to tell you, that's so far from the truth. I just want the mind of Christ. And I want you to have the mind of Christ. It's not about that you agree with everything me or the deacons want to do. It's about that we all have the mind of Christ. Because there's going to become a time where it's not about the color of this auditorium or the color of this carpet or the color of these chairs, whether we build a garage or not, whether we pave the roads or not. Those are minor things that are coming down the road, folks. And when those things come down the road, Paul said, you better be of one mind and one heart. You better have a spiritual unity amongst you, because if there's discord among you and disunity among you, it's gonna tear this church apart. So Paul said to the Philippian church, he said, I want you to be of one mind and one spirit. He wasn't doing things saying, I want you to do everything I want you to do. Because Paul never made it back to the church of Philippi. But he wanted them to be unified because he knew what was coming down the road. I think this passage is very fitting for us as you look at what's happening in America today. That you look at what happens amongst our politicians. I'm telling you what, it's coming down the road, folks. The freedoms you enjoy, I'm talking about freedoms you enjoy that I can preach this book and say whatever I want from this pulpit. Those days could be down the road coming to an end. That you get to meet like we meet today and have the freedoms that we have today to enjoy the fellowship that we have, to do the things we do. I think those days could be limited. Now, I'm not saying they're going to happen next week or next year. But I can see them if America continues in the direction it's going and it moves in the direction of socialism and communism begins to become a part, the churches will not exist as we know them today, and that will be in your lifetime, folks. I think this passage is very, it's not for you to think like I want you to think. But Paul wanted his people to have the mind of Christ, and so he gave us four M's. And we looked at it last week. He gave the motivation for having the mind of Christ, for being of one heart and one mind. He gave the motivation. And today we'll look at what does that look like, the marks of spiritual unity. Then in this same passage, verses 1 through 8, he gives the means to spiritual unity, how you can have spiritual unity. And then the greatest passage maybe in all the Bible in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, he gave the model for unity, and that was Jesus Christ. And so we looked at the motivation. And you'll find that in verse 1, if there be, because, it's not if, it's because there is consolation, encouragement of Christ, because of what Christ has done for you. We need to set ourselves aside and live for others because of his comfort of love, because Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and died for you. He died for me. We should have the love for the brethren. That should be our motivation because of Christ, the consolation of Christ, because of the comfort of love. But if that's not enough, he gave the two more motivations. It's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And the longing or the bowels and compassion or mercy of the Holy Spirit, how he walks within us. He lives within you to guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit isn't in you to make himself better. It's to make you more like Christ. He sets the glories of heaven aside. You think about this. Christ left the glories of heaven to come to this earth for 33 years, and he went back to heaven. But the Holy Spirit, when he went back, the Holy Spirit came down. He's out of heaven because he lives within you and me. But he longs for you. And the fellowship that we can have, the guidance that we can have through the Holy Spirit, if we'll just ask him, he'll guide us and lead us into truth. He'll give you, help you in your decisions. He even prays for things that you don't even know. And so Paul said, because of the motivation of Christ, just because of what Christ has done for you, because of the motivation of the Holy Spirit and how he longs for you. But he said, if those two aren't enough, then just simply, he said, I want you to be of one heart, one mind, because that would fulfill my joy. That would thrill my soul, that when the persecutions and the different things come and I can't be there to help you through them, I know you're going to be of one mind and one soul and one heart. That's the motivation. That's in verses 1 and 2. Paul wants us to be like-minded. Paul is not asking people to be carbon copies of each other. You know, Dr. McGee, I read his books almost every day of my life. And I know some folks, as they read the Bible through, they read through with Dr. McGee to help them understand the passages, and it's a wonderful way to do it. And every once in a while, I totally agree with everything Dr. McGee says, but I love some of his illustrations. This is what he said. He said he sees it like this. In the churches, there are two groups of people in our churches today. One group is for the pastor, and one group is against the pastor. There's two groups. But those that represent those two groups are not thinking of themselves, but are carbon copies of the group leaders that they follow. That's not what Paul wanted. It's not about being for the pastor or against the pastor. That's not what we're talking about here. It's having the mind of Christ. To be of one mind is to let the mind of Christ be in you. And when the mind of Christ is in you, that permits differences of expressions, differences of gifts, differences of methods of service. It's even differences in practical doctrine. But with that, we won't be beating each other over the head because we disagree about so many things. If we have the mind of Christ, you have the mind of Christ, Paul says, you agree in all the major things that are before us. And so that I want to show you that's the motivation, and we need spiritual unity. But that's the motivation because of Christ, because of the Holy Spirit. And for the Philippian church, it was because it would fulfill Paul's joy. That's the motivation. But number two, I want to look at the marks. What does it look like to have spiritual unity? What are the results of having spiritual unity? How we'll look at the means and how to get it, but what are the marks of spiritual unity? And we'll find that in verse 2 and verse 3. He said in verse 2, fulfill ye my joy. That's the motivation. The first mark of spiritual unity is that you be like-minded. That's the first mark of spiritual unity, that you'll be like-minded. The idea behind like-minded, now hear me out before you make a judgment call on this. Hear what I have to say. It's to think the same things or be unanimous in their decisions. But it's not for everybody just has to think a certain way. That's not what Paul is saying here. That's not what I'm saying, and that's not what I believe that Paul's trying to say here. But what does it mean to be like-minded? Well, to be like-minded is thinking right is essential to spiritual unity. You'll find out in a few verses later that Paul declares the only way to have harmony in the local church is to have the mind of Christ. That's how you have harmony. And you get that harmony through God's word and the Holy Spirit. And that believers can know the mind of Christ. That's why Paul wrote this. He wrote this in 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. We can have the mind of Christ. So how do you have the mind of Christ? Well, I think this is so interesting, and this is what Paul is talking about when he talks about being like-minded. And you'd find it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, if you go over a couple chapters. This is what Paul said. Here's what he meant. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, this is what he said, think on these things. See, that's what it means to be like-minded. That's what Paul's talking about here. We need to be like-minded. It doesn't mean we all need to think alike. You don't need to think like me, because if you think like me, you'll be just as weird as I am. I don't want you to think like me. I want you to have the mind of Christ. But Paul isn't saying, I want you to think like me, folks. He says, I want you to think, but I want you to think on the same things I think on. That's the key here. To be like-minded, you need to think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. That's what he's saying. Be like-minded. Don't think alike, but think on these things alike. That's what creates the mind of Christ. That's what creates spiritual unity within a church. It's not thinking alike. It's thinking on these things. Well, I tell you what, I could take this passage and preach on it all morning. Because I think how you think and what you put your mind on is exactly what you become. Boy, and you know what? The world knows this better than we do. You know, because all they do is got to take our kids into public schools and our schools around, and they just got to get them thinking on all this garbage that's out there, folks. And they get them thinking on that garbage, that's exactly what they will become. Because what you think is what you are. Paul knew that. So he didn't say be like-minded. He didn't say think like I think. He said think on these things. The same things I'm to think on. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue in them and there be any praise in them, think on these things. That's what he's talking about here. So whether you think I'm trying to get you to think like I think so I can get anything I want in this church, you're so far from the truth. And if you think that's what Paul's doing, you're so far from the truth, because he was not saying think like he thinks. He said think on these things, because that's when you'll have the mind of Christ. Be honest with yourself. You don't have to be honest with me, because you don't answer to me. But how much of your day, how much of your week is set on thinking about things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are righteous, things that are pure, things that are lovely? All the things that are, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. I'm telling you, if we could understand this principle and we would think right and think on these things, it would give you the mind of Christ. And that's what Paul says will build a like-mindedness or a unity within the local church. Think on these things. Paul also gave a little bit of insight regarding the same type of deal. In Romans chapter 8, he told the church of Rome, he said, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If you walk after the flesh, you're gonna mind the things of the flesh, folks. But if you walk in the Spirit, you're going to mind the things of the Spirit. That's what Paul said. We've got to not only think on these things, but we've got to walk in the Spirit. We've got to spend time with Christ. We've got to spend time in God's Word. We've got to spend time asking the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. We've got to walk in the Spirit. I know you've heard of some of this before, but how many churches have been split over the color of carpet in the auditorium? Because those that are in the flesh will mind the things of the flesh. But those who are in the Spirit will mind the things of the Spirit. And I don't think the color of the carpet, the color of these seats or pews, the color of this room or anything else like that will divide a church that is walking in the Spirit, that has the mind of Christ, that thinks on these things. Whatsoever is just and honest and pure and right, if we will think on these things, it'll develop us into the mind of Christ, will give us unity within a local church to have one Spirit, one mind, one heart. When the battles come, we'll be together as a body of believers. But it's how we think. So Paul's misdirected here, or people don't see what he's saying. But when he says be like-minded, he said we need to all think on these things alike. We need to not walk in the flesh, but we need to walk in the Spirit. Because when we're in the Spirit, we'll fulfill the things of the Spirit. When we think on these things, we'll have the mind of Christ. So the first step to having the mark of spiritual unity in the church is to have a like-mindedness to think on these things. If I could just change the way a lot of people think, we'd never have discord. We'd never have disunity. Oh, we may have differences of opinions. We may have disagreements, but we'll agree to disagree because we walk in the Spirit and we'll fulfill the things of the Spirit of God. And in the scope of eternity, I don't think God cares what color the carpet is in this auditorium. In the focus of eternity, I don't think God cares what color the pews are or the seats are in this auditorium. Because that's not eternal value. And so we could vote on a lot of things. But when we walk in the Spirit, we'll feel the things of the Spirit. When we think on these things, we will be like-minded, having the mind of Christ. That's the first mark of spiritual unity. I could spend all morning on that. But there's a second one he gives. He said, having the same love, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love. And this is an interesting one as well. Having the same love is to love each other equally. Yet on a purely emotional level, I'm not talking about agape love, just the love that's in the world, eros love, fidelpha love, the loves that are in the world, the lustful loves that man has. The only way you can get true agape unconditional love is from God, because God is agape love. And if you don't have God, you can't have. Now, you can still have love, but you can't have agape love. You can have just a worldly love, an eros love, a fidelpha love. And to have that love, it's impossible to have an equal love, for people are not equally attractive. There's no way to love. You know what? If you have an eros love this morning and a fidelpha love, you don't have an agape love and you haven't applied that to your lives, there's going to be some people in this auditorium that maybe you just don't like. You say, I don't care for them. Paul said that's a love that comes from the world. But every day he prayed, as I pray for you, that the love of Christ, the agape love of Christ, would abound more and more in your life, because it fits what Paul is teaching here, because we need to have the same love one for another. And agape, unconditional love, is of the will, not a preference or attraction. Agape love is the intentional, conscious choice to seek the welfare of others. To have the same love is to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Genuine love is not merely sentimental affection, but it's sacrificial service. That's why John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, he said, but whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. John was saying the same thing Apostle Paul was saying, that we need to have the same love one for another. Now, hear me out, folks. Paul isn't being unreasonable. There are some folks in this room that I connect with better than folks in the other room. You know, take for instance, like Brother Steve and his wife here. He loves to read. He loves to do the book of Psalms. I love to take him down and go with me when I go to Baker Bookhouse, because he loves going down there. And then after Baker Bookhouse, you know what we do? We go to Chick-fil-A. They love it as much as I do. And then the whole way down there and the whole way back, we talk about the Tigers, good and bad. We should be coaches. We should be the owners of them. But that doesn't mean I love Brother Steve more than I love anybody else in this room. Paul said you need to have the same love, one for another. And what that means is you may not spend time, the same amount of time with somebody you spend with somebody else who you have like acquaintances with or you have things in common with, but if they have a need, you're just as willing to help that need as you are somebody who's your best friend. That's what Paul's saying. That's genuine agape love, folks. Paul said we need to have the same love one for another. You know, when I'd never been a pastor before. You guys were the first church ever gutsy enough to make me your pastor. I've always been an assistant. I've always worked with children. So I didn't have a routine set up when I became the pastor of Faith Baptist Church. I didn't know how I was supposed to pray. And so when I came here and first started, I started out praying for the needs of folks. You know, and for right now, I would pray for Brother Chet because of the mass that's on his pancreas. And I pray for Brother Jim because of the mass that's on his prostate. I pray for Brother Ed. He has a mass in his bladder. These men have, and there's some serious stuff going on. I prayed for Nancy specifically because she was going to find out from the doctors if she had cancer or not. Pray for Brother Mike this week very much because he had back surgery. And that's when I first got into the ministry. That's how I prayed. But I don't know, the Spirit of God began to speak into my heart and say, you pray for those with a need, but you may not know the needs of the other people that are in your church. Why do you pray for them, but you don't pray for everybody? So I decided about 4 years ago that I was just going to pray for each one of you every single day. Because you each need prayer. You each have struggles and battles that I maybe don't even know anything about. So individually, you get prayed for. And every visitor that visits for a couple weeks get prayed for. Why? Because I want to have the same love for you as I do for somebody who I know has a need or somebody that I get along with very well and has a lot of things in common. But I want to have the same love for you. If you have a need, I want to be there to meet your need the same way that I would do for somebody that I spend a lot of time with. Because that's what Paul said. That's one of the marks of unity, is having the same love one for another. Well, Pastor, I just don't like them. That's not agape love. Because agape love is unconditional love. John said, if you don't love your brother, then you don't have the love of God. That means you're not applying the agape love. Oh, you may have an eros love. You may even have a fidelfa, brotherly love, but you're not applying agape love. Because agape love loves equal. And so these are the marks of a unified church. Number one, they're like-minded. They think on these things. They walk in the Spirit. They have the mind of Christ. But the second mark of a spiritual church is having the same love one for another. Again, that doesn't mean you have to do everything with everybody the same. But when a brother or sister has a need and you're not close to them, you'll pray for that need. If there was some way for you to be a blessing to them and help them, you say, but I really don't know them that well. It doesn't matter. If the Spirit of God lays it upon your heart, you help that person. You do for that person what you would do for anybody else. You'd do for your best friend. If that's the opportunity that God brings before you, that's what Paul's talking about. He said we need to have the same love one toward another. That's the second mark of spiritual unity. Whenever believers are filled with bitterness and envy and jealousy, and personal ambition and possessiveness, out of these attitudes come conflict. So Paul says, have the same love one toward another. One of the commentaries said this, and I think it's right. He said, you can identify heresy. You know how you can identify heresy? It's spoken. You can identify sin because it's practiced. But one thing you cannot identify is a loveless attitude, because I do not know your heart. Only you do. Paul said that's the second mark of having a unified church. One is we're like-minded. We think on the same things. We walk in the Spirit. But number two, he said, having the same love. But number three, the third mark of a spiritual church that's filled with unity is being of one accord. And this is an interesting word. If you took the Greek word and found out what this word accord is formed from, it comes from the word together and soul. That's the two words, together and soul, make up the word accord. The idea is it means to be of one soul. And to be of one soul involves a deep passionate concern for God. A deep compassion or passionate concern for his work, for his word, for the gospel, for his people. You know, there's so many folks in the church, in churches today, and I get it. I'm talking about the church that's filled with spiritual unity, that is one mind, one heart, one soul, that when the times get tough and the persecution comes, that church is going to stay together and bond together. They're going to do whatever it takes to continue to make the church successful. But there's a whole lot of churches, I think, when the persecution comes, they're told they can't preach and they can't sing and they can't do this. They're going to succumb to it because I watched it. I watched it when the government told us we had to shut down. There's still churches that are still shut down today. We've got to be careful, folks. We've got to have the mind of Christ, and I'm so thankful. We were out for 3 or 4 weeks again. I had no idea what this involved. We were going to meet out in the parking lot, and I'm so thankful that I had so many people that called me and said, Pastor, if we're going to get together in the parking lot, let's just get together in the church. The mind of Christ. God has put his hand of blessing upon this church through this whole pandemic in a way that I can't even explain to you. For those of you who are here, you understand this, but Brother Tim Schmid came in. Remember when he came in? He preached. He shook hands with all of you. He hugged half of you because he knows you so well. He went back and had dinner with us. He was here for the entire day. He calls me on Monday and said, I hate to tell you this, Pastor, but I just went to the doctor, the hospital, and I have COVID. Well, I was devastated, folks. I thought of all the people that hugged him, all the people that shook his hand. I tell you what, it was humbling. I hit my knees. I said, God, help us. You know, not one person in this church got the virus. That's the hand of God, folks. Because when we have the mind of Christ, amazing things happen. But to have the mind of Christ, you need a like-mindedness. Think on these things. But you also need to have the same love one for another. But the third thing we have to do is we have to be of one soul or one accord. We need to have a passion, a concern for God. Too many people, too many Christians go to church to put in their time. They go to church just because that's what they're supposed to do. Man, church is the most blessed thing. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time of growing. It's a time of fulfilling God's plan for this world. It's through the local church. We need to have a passion for church. We need to have a passion for God. We need to have a passion for his word. We need to have a passion for the gospel, that people need the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying you got to be fanatic, but it's got to be somewhat of a passion for you. That's what being of one accord is. You have a passion for his people. Listen, no two Christians, no matter their level of spiritual maturity, will understand everything exactly alike. But if they are controlled by humility and love, they will genuinely be united in one spirit, one mind, and one soul. So a mark of a church that is unified is a like-mindedness, thinking on the same things. Not thinking alike, but thinking on the same things. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are good, of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to be like-minded. Number two, we need to have the same love one for another. Number three, we need to be of one accord. Church just can't be something we do. Now, you don't have to get fanatical. You know, I'm not saying you have to be in every service, but there has to be, you know, there's some folks out there that you know nothing about. But one thing, Lester can be, praise the Lord. He's a 93-year-old man that lives alone, but I'm telling you something. He loves Faith Baptist Church in a way that would blow your mind. He said, will you get Larry? And I'm not saying for you to do this, but he said, will you have Larry run me 10 copies of any of your sermons? Because he said, I just tell people, we have the greatest church, and I have the greatest pastor, and I want them to hear him. I think he's nuts. To hear me is not to love me. Do you know he loves Faith Baptist Church? He's not just weird, but he's passionate about it. Every time he goes, I love to hear Brother Floyd, every different hospital he's in, every doctor he goes, every nurse he comes along, you know what he does? He has a story to tell him, and it's his story. It's not my story, it's his story. But he tells him about heaven. He's passionate. I just asked you that question. Do you have some passion? Maybe it's toward God's word. Maybe it's toward God's people. Maybe it's toward the church. Maybe it's just simply toward God. You just can't stop telling him how awesome and great he is. But being of one accord, Paul's saying, be of one soul together. Have a passion. And then he said, and I got to close. He said, be of one mind. Be like-minded. Think alike. Have the same love. These are the marks of a spiritual church, a church that's spiritually mature, that's filled with unity. They have one accord. They're passionate about, there's some passion in there for God, for his word, for his work, for his people. But the last thing is, they have one mind. And that one mind is simply they have one purpose. You know, we all have the same purpose. We all should have the same purpose. And you know what our purpose in life should be? To glorify God. That's your purpose. Whether you've heard that or not, it's true. Your whole purpose for being in existence on this earth, he said, I bought you with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You are what you are because of God and what he's done for you. And so you know what? I have a purpose in life. It's not to pastor Faith Baptist Church. It's not to raise my family, even though that's a very important thing to me. It's not to have a nice home or be a nice guy. You know what my purpose in life is? It's to glorify my Father, which is in heaven. One purpose. One mind. The advancement of the kingdom, the furtherance of the gospel. These four principles represent a full circle of unity. They are complementary, overlapping, and inseparable. The basic idea is expressed in four ways, each with somewhat a different important emphasis. Folks, we have to combat the world's philosophies today. You know what the world says today? Have it your way. You know what the world says today? Do your own thing. You know what the world says? Live for yourself. Live, get the gusto. That's not biblical, folks. You know what God said? He said, be like-minded. Think on the same things. Have the same love one for another. Put others before yourself. He said, be of one accord. Have a passion for something that'll make a difference for eternity. And then have one mind. My whole goal in life is to glorify my Father, which is in heaven. And folks, when those four things are working, that's a mark of a church that has spiritual unity and maturity. That's the marks of a church that when the persecution comes, the battles come. When the devil tries to divide and conquer, that's the church that stands firm, that has these marks. See, Paul wasn't interested in getting what he wanted. Paul wasn't interested in getting everybody to think like he thought. Paul was interested that the Philippian church had the mind of Christ. And that's what we need. Like-minded, love one for another, be of one accord, and one mind or one purpose to glorify God. That's our desire. That's God's desire for Faith Baptist Church. Let's pray. Father, we